following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Check for sound. Check for power. Get it ready.
Systems online.
Now let's get fired up for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
I'm a
It's about leading the league and fucking wins.
Welcome to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger.
What the fuck is wrong with Ben Roethlisberger, whatever his name is?
And now, here's John and Tom.
We stink. Stink.
Get out, scream!
Welcome back, Buckeyes. If everyone in here can keep their trap shut, you will all receive free tattoos.
And you know what? That'll make sure that none of you can ever win a football game again. Hey, you know, I saw Jim Tressel in the box up at the during that Colts debacle on Sunday Night Football. Dude, guess what? Y'all brought him in to deal with calls, right? Y'all wanted to look at replay.
Right.
You don't have anything worth looking at. as soon as any given play that the Colts run is over, they should burn the tape.
Right.
Nobody wants to see that.
Oh, that was terrible. 62 points they gave up.
That was awful. That was awful. I mean, you know, they say everything, it all falls on Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning ain't playing defense. Mm-hmm. You know? What is that? What are they going to be winning games 63-62
if he's not playing defense, but it's still, that's a huge part of it because when he's, you know, when you're going three and out all the time, your defense is constantly on the field, you're losing time of possession, and I realize Manning scores quick, but when you're getting points, it's okay.
Right. But even still, like I said, they're going to be winning 63-62 here?
Yeah, jeez. I doubt that. All right, I'm Tom, he's John, it's the Bang Cartoon Sports Show, and this is podcast number 188. Did you catch that? Did you guys catch that?
Hey, we've got to change. Bunch of people just wanted to say, hey, am I listening to the right thing? What the hell was that?
It's supposed to be Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
That's right. Well, guess what? We've expanded. All right? There's more people listening to us now, and they don't know what the hell the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is, so we got to kind of drag them along slow.
Honestly, I don't care what you call it as long as you listen.
That's right. You can call it whatever the hell you want.
Coming up, Diva Lover gives us a shout-out, John. Finally, we got it.
I'm so proud. Yes. I'm serious. I am so proud. This is going to go down in the Taman family history.
British fans apparently don't know the National Football League.
Not really. But no. They have better teeth than Diva Lover.
I know the National Football League.
Not if you're in Britain.
I don't know the National Football League.
Falcons are whining, Jesus has risen in Denver, and David Stern is a slave owner, John.
He is?
Yes.
My God, that bastard. That bastard.
We got all that coming up. Let's talk a little fantasy here for just a moment.
Witten's in a slot on the right, and it's a draw to Murray, coming right, 15, 20, 25, and 30. Murray to the 40, DeMarco Murray, with a block for Bryant, to the 20, 10, touchdown, 91 yards, DeMarco Murray, the first rushing touchdown since week one.
Toss left, Murray on the edge. 35-30, he's got the record to the 25-yard line. DeMarco Murray has set a Dallas Cowboys record for most rushing yards in a game by a running back.
250 yards for DeMarco Murray. Now, why is that a big deal? You know, because everybody's got their Adrian Petersons and their Arian Fosters and their Aaron Rodgers. But John, just a week ago, had possession of DeMarco Murray.
I'd had him for a month.
Yes.
That's right. When I'm listening to the NFL shows, and they're all going, who had this guy on his fantasy team? And it's like, hello, I did.
Yeah,
I traded him.
You traded him to me for for Ryan Terrain.
That's right.
And Ryan Terrain had what on Sunday?
I think he had minus 2 yards on one carry. But that's okay. Fantasy football lasts more than one Sunday. The other thing that was good about my fantasy team is that my team's starting running back got his knees turned into spaghetti. So Ryan Terrain will be playing.
Yes, that's the thing. I would say your long-term outlook is good for Ryan Terrain, but Sunday, definitely the trade made me look really good.
Yeah, it did. It did. But at the same time, I also possess Felix Jones, and as soon as he's back, I'll get him for the next 2 weeks until he gets his little pussy hurt.
I don't know if DeMarco Murray's ever going to let any other running back have the starting job back.
Well, like I said, Felix Jones, once he gets back in, he'll get 2 weeks before he hurts his vagina again, and then he'll be out, and you'll get Murray again.
Anyway, looking at our Gridiron Challenge top five, that's the fantasy game we run over on ESPN. Sid Luckman, there he is, first place, of course.
Yeah, man, the dude knows his stuff.
Wilma Fingerdew is in second place.
Wilma Fingerdew. Well, this week Aaron Rodgers is on a bye, so we'll see if there's any shakeups at the top there.
Right. Let's see. The Romo O'Romos.
Romo! O'Romo!
Alf Ramsey's Porn Dungeon. They are fourth. Right. And the Mitten Men return at fifth. I'm in 37th, and you are in 77th.
I dropped 14 places. You know why, Tom? Because I am the curse of the second running back.
Yeah.
Right? I put Ryan Terrain in against one of the worst rushing defenses of all time, and he goes nowhere. This week, I put in Ernest Graham, and he immediately tears his knee up. Immediately.
Well, don't put DeMarco Murray in there, will you? Please don't do that.
Oh, I already did. I put him in. I put Romo in. I got them all in there. Austin's in there. You know what's the worst part about that? Is I'm sitting there all week long dicking around with the salary cap, trying to find my best fits, right? I put Ahmad Bradshaw in. Nah, took him out. Boom, three touchdowns, right? Everybody I put in and took out, I'm watching them score on Sunday. And then I watch Ernest Graham turn one play into a spaghetti knee, and he's done for the year.
Well, the Romo O'Romos jumped up into third because they scored 200 points this week.
Jesus.
Yeah.
200 points? Did he have DeMarco Murray in there?
I don't know if he had Murray. I'm guessing he had Arian Foster and maybe Drew Brees and Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know.
All the Saints. That Saints tight end.
Right.
Yeah, had him in there.
And then in the Pigskin Pick'em top five, the Mitten Men return are number one.
Number one, Tom.
Yeah.
Be number one with the bullet.
Christ Chin at number two. Rusty Psychotic Rant at number three. I'm in fourth. And tied for fifth are the Gay Agenda and Wee all the way home.
Wee all the way home.
And you're just one pick in back of us.
The Gay Agenda, huh?
The Gay Agenda.
The Gay Agenda. We're going to show these big guys who can put footballs. I'll be picking those footballs.
All right, as we said, Diva Lover did a shout-out for us.
I am proud. And I am thrilled.
Man, he was very enthusiastic. We could turn this into a commercial for the show.
I'd like to put it on television.
It's, here it is.
Yes, it's a shout-out. It's a shout-out to Bang Cartoon Radio Hour. It's Bang Cartoon when it comes to laughing your butt clear off. And the biggest laugh ever in the best comedy skits of football, baseball, basketball, etc. Bang Cartoon has got you covered. And Bang Cartoon is the way to go. If you're
That's
not
right.
listening, if you're not watching Bang Cartoon, what's the matter with you? There's something wrong with you. Bang Cartoon is the best comedy around today. These people definitely know how to get it done, and they know how to tickle your funny bone.
Who are you calling these people?
We are these people, Tom. You know what's great? Pretty soon he's going to become a motivational speaker.
Absolutely, positively, every time. When I'm down, depressed, or sad, I turn to Bang Cartoon, or I listen to Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, and I guarantee you, by the end of the night, when it's all said and done, I am I'm uplifted, I'm highly entertained, and I can't help but smile from ear to ear, baby. Bang Cartoon, this is a very special, dedicated shout-out just for you.
Thank you, Chad McGee. And you know what I promised him, Tom? That we would do a give a plug for his website, DivaLover159.com, Everybody go over there and buy a t-shirt.
I'm buying a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. Absolutely.
I've got to have one.
Chad, really, here's what you got to do. You got to get those Assassinate Annihilate t-shirts and just put them down to the bottom of the page. And put a t-shirt of your face up there doing that. Yeah! And write, yeah, underneath it. I would buy that in a heartbeat. That would be great. I'd love to have something like that. You know what? It's nice to know, Tom, that when he's down and out, depressed in his van down by the river, that we can lift his spirits.
He is uplifted, John.
He's smiling from ear to ear. You can see all four of them teeth, boy.
When I'm down, depressed, or sad, I listen to Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
When I realize I live in a town that ain't got but one street and it ain't even made but nothing but dirt, I turn on the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
I hope he does turn on the Radio Hour.
And I can't help but smile from ear to ear.
Well, now that we've renamed the show, you think we can get him to do it again?
Bang Cartoon!
Oh, that's great.
If you're not listening, there's something wrong with you.
There's something very, very wrong with you.
That's right, Tom. He's diagnosed your problem.
When you're sad, when you're down, turn on Bang Cartoon.
All natural. There are no chemicals.
Oh, that's right, man. That's right.
No additives or preservatives.
Part of a well-balanced breakfast.
That's right.
Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
That's right.
Love the guy. Love the guy. Glad he's a part of the show.
Yes. Thank you, Diva Lover. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. He is part of the controcity that is the Bang Cartoon Sports Show.
Hey, you want to talk about an introduction? Here's an introduction.
First Philadelphia, then Washington, and now in Minnesota, Donovan McNabb has lost his starting job.
He comes running out of the tunnel to that. What? Huh? What? That ain't right. He comes running out under the big Viking helmet.
You saw him choke it up in Philly. You saw him get benched in Washington. Now he's benched in Minnesota. Welcome, Donovan McNabb.
Oh, you know, that stupid, fickle homer of a fan, McNabb to Jackson.
Oh, yeah, what did he have to say?
Well, I'm just thinking back to his whole blog about Vic, and then the trade happened. And what did he say? This is the worst trade since the Eagles traded away Reggie White.
Right. I mean, for him, it turned out pretty good. And, you know, it's kind of surprising, really, when you read about all this stuff that you hear about over the weekend, about McNabb not showing up for meetings, late all the time, last one in the facility, first one out the door. So, you know, when you hear about that, obviously, Donovan McNabb's message to the NFL was, you know, while you're working, I'm going to be sleeping in.
The message I try to send to players across the league.
Don't go to meetings. Show up late.
Yeah.
The message I try to send is, you know, I don't need to study nothing. I'm the quarterback. I'll just come in. You give me the ball. I'll throw it in the dirt. And then I'll blame whoever it is that comes in after me and say it ain't my fault.
He's lazy.
He's
lazy. He retired over a year ago, man, for all intents and purposes, you know?
He's lazy, and he is self-centered, and that's becoming quite apparent. And it really, you know, all this stuff, all this time, we all heard about how T.O. is such a bad guy, right?
I tried to tell all of you.
Not me, baby. I've been one of his biggest supporters. I just hate the team he plays for. But obviously, to me now, when you read all this stuff about McNabb, and then you remember T.O. saying, you know, he's just jealous. He doesn't want to share his star. Boy, that sure seems very it doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore, does it?
Nope. Didn't at all to me then.
No. I tell you what. Did you see T.O.'s workout yesterday?
Yeah, I did, but nobody else did.
Nobody else did. He got an offer today from the Chicago Arena League team.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
The Arena team.
Oh, man.
I've been steady arguing Redskin fans.
I know how to play football.
He does. Who can make a play? He can.
There are more people that love me than hate me.
I don't know about that right now.
You know, I didn't see much of his workout, but he looked pretty good physically. You know, he's always going to be in good shape. They had said that he was going to wear long pants to try to hide some atrophy in his leg.
He didn't hide anything. He looked great.
Yeah, he did. He looked great. He was running well. He looked like he was cutting well.
I've been arguing with Redskins fans all damn day because I'm, I'd love to have him here. You know what?
Why do we need that circus? We're trying to rebuild.
Oh, so wait a minute. Signing one veteran player mid-season is killing the rebuild? What are you talking about?
Well.
Team Obliterator.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever. Team Obliterator's up in Minnesota behind Christian Ponder.
He killed Jeff Garcia. He killed Donovan McNabb. He even killed Drew Bledsoe.
Did he kill Donovan McNabb by coming back on a broken leg and playing in the Super Bowl, playing his ass off in the Super Bowl, while Donovan McNabb just shuffled his lazy ass down the field, throwing up in the huddle?
Wow, are we really having this discussion again?
You know what? I'm having this discussion now because I love to lay it onto Donovan McNabb. I don't like him. I've never liked him. I think he's just a cheese-eating sumbitch, and he's always... He's just rubbed me the wrong way. Aside from being an Eagles quarterback, he always just seemed to be that passive-aggressive jerk-off. And really, last year, after he was benched, Michael Wilbon and others dragged Shanahan through the mud and called him a racist. Where are they now?
Right, right.
Where are they now that we found out that everything he said about Donovan McNabb is now being confirmed by the Vikings? Huh?
Yeah.
Where are you, Mr. Wilbon? Why aren't you speaking up now and saying how much of an idiot you sounded like back then? And, you know... McNabb, just let him do it. That's the thing that bugs me about it. You got any goddamn balls, man? Why don't you stand up and say, hey, you know what? That's got nothing to do with this. But he didn't. He just sat back passive-aggressively and let it happen.
And that's what he wants.
Sure it is. Makes him smell good. Makes him look good.
Yeah.
Whatever. He can stay home and dream about it while he's missing meetings.
Yes, your career is over, Donovan McNabb, and you have no rings.
That's right. Christian Ponder's got your job.
But it's everybody else's fault, Donovan.
But he's borderline Hall of Fame, Tom, right?
The message I try to send to players across the league.
I'm definitely not the reason why we lost these games. I'm not to blame for everything that goes on around here.
not me. How could you blame me? All that stuff happened in a team meeting, and I didn't even bother to show up. You can't blame me for that. I wasn't even there. I was busy parking in a handicapped spot so I could hang out in a bar with my friends.
Oh, you got to dig for that one, don't you?
Yeah. Let's see here. Josh Freeman, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, says the British fans are largely lacking in knowledge about the rules and a lot of other things regarding the NFL.
Oh, dude, they love it when people punt. They're all cheering because somebody punted. Oh, look at him kick the ball. That's amazing. Sign him up for Man U. Awesome.
Put the net back up.
Yeah, right. Punting the ball.
Freeman says they don't really know exactly when to cheer, the majority of the fans, but it's still a great experience playing over in London.
They keep showing up, you know. They keep showing up in droves. That place sells out every time. Now, one of our British friends here, I think it might have been Reevesy, was telling me that he really doesn't want to see a team in England because from what I understand, their government formed a committee to try to bring an NFL team to London. They want to teach the game over there. They want to bring an NFL team over there permanently, which, you know, I don't think it would be that bad of an idea. You know, I don't think the jet lag matters that much. What did the Bears show up the day before and beat the crap out of the Buccaneers who had been there almost all week, right?
Right.
So I really don't think that that's a big deal. But what he was saying was that the fan base is so spread out that, you know, because all of them are fans of other teams here. You know, there's no hometown team there at all. And that the stadium, Wembley, fills up not only with British people, but with people from Germany and France and everywhere else in Europe. They come to watch this game. So he said he thinks that the fan base will not pick up on a London-based team.
They didn't get a very good game.
Well, they tried this time. They at least got a decent matchup this time. They're probably all thrilled drinking their warm beer because the Dolphins didn't come.
Yeah, but it was a pretty sloppy game.
It always is over.
So, Tilliard, you got to educate the fans over there.
So. Educate, annihilate, and assassinate. Dominate, annihilate, assassinate.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah, Tilliard gave us a play-by-play on the Facebook page of where he was.
I'm on the train. I just went to the loo on the train. It smelled pretty bad. Now I'm in my hotel room. I'm
like, okay. What's in the minibar, John? They probably have like $50 plates of bangers and mash in the mini bar over there.
So the Lions lose again.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen because I picked against them. They're due for a little slide.
Yeah, well, it might be a larger slide now because guess who's hurt?
Oh, it's Stafford's hurt, right?
Stafford's hurt, yeah.
Imagine that. Well, he's questionable for this week.
Yeah,
What was the actual diagnosis on his leg? It was his ankle, right?
But Matt Ryan, the Falcons quarterback, also got he got his foot stepped on in that game.
Yeah, and if he can come back out in that game, look here, Mr. Stafford. Get your wussy ass up. Actually, I should never call him a wussy because of that one recording we have of him getting his bell rung.
I know, right?
When he gets his shoulder separated and throws a touchdown pass.
Oh!
Yeah.
Shoulder.
The fact that he went back out after that, I'll never call him a. I'll never question his manhood. Sure.
Oh!
Yeah. Now, for y'all that don't remember, that was when he got his shoulder broken the second time. Was when he got his collar broken. He threw a touchdown pass at the end of a football game. I can't even remember who they were playing against. But he got his shoulder broken on that play and then got over on the sidelines. And remember, he was telling the trainer to get the F off of him. Get the F off of me. I'm going back in the
right.
game. And they won. They went and won.
Oh!
All right, so anyway, Matt Ryan gets his foot stepped on, and it looked really nasty, but apparently it wasn't as bad as it looked. But while he was hurt, the Falcons have made claims that Ndamukong Suh and other Lions players were trash-talking Matt Ryan while he was laying on the ground hurt, saying, really? You know, stuff like, bring out the stretcher, get him off the field, and I have to, John, I've got to give props to Mike Greenberg.
Okay.
Because I was watching Mike and Mike. I know you don't understand how I can do that. I was watching Mike and Mike. I was watching Mike and Mike the other morning, and they were talking about this. And as they were talking about that, Greenberg threw in an audio drop from The Karate Kid from the final fight where the one guy from the Cobra Kai dojo goes, "Get him a body bag." And I was like, oh, Mike's learning. He's learning.
See, he is. He's picking up on it. Now, see, the thing is, I don't think that Sue was trash-talking anybody. Fairley certainly will never trash-talk me. I mean, really, you look at Nick Fairley, do you think that guy's a bad guy? Nah, he's just as nice as can be. Sue was defending Ryan. He was trying to get that big meat foot lineman of his off of him. You know, you're going to hurt your own quarterback. Get off of him.
Well, yeah, and here's what Sue had to say about the whole thing.
I'm not even near their quarterback, so how am I going to trash talk somebody that has a medical staff that's all around him? That's their own problem. If you look at that play, I didn't cause his quarterback to come down. LJ, who was closest man to him, and Corey didn't cause the player to go down. Myself and Cliff were standing next to each other. If you look at it, to me, it's karma. For all the best that they've done in the past, their offensive linemen hurt their own quarterback. So I'll leave it at that.
Their offensive linemen. It's them. They did it to themselves. It's bad karma.
Yeah. You're going to come out here with a dirty bird. You're going to bring that to the NFL. Well, this is what you're going to get one day. And, you know, he wasn't trash talking. He was telling them, you know, yo, he's busted up. Get the spatula. Scrape him up. I don't want y'all to get a delay of game. Hurry up.
Get the spatula.
Right. Y'all got some roadkill out here. We're number two. Hurry up. Get him out of here. He was probably helping.
Yeah.
Say, Mr. Ryan, I'm no doctor, but is an ankle supposed to bend that way?
Well, listening to, you know, players in the media after this happened, like on Monday Night Countdown, Mike Ditka, he said, you know, don't take this to the media. If you're the Atlanta players, don't go whining to the media. Go talk to Ndamukong Suh. He says, you know, if you got a problem with me, then come to me and tell me about it. Otherwise, shut up and play. That's what Ditka said.
Well, that's a very good thing for our listeners, because really on Monday Night Countdown, if you listen to him, Mike Ditka says that like this: And thanks to Tom for being able to slow it down enough so that we humans could understand that moron.
Well, Mike Golic, he kind of felt the same way. In fact, he couldn't even believe this was national news, and you know, Golic knows a thing or two about the trenches.
Sure.
You know, and he says, he said, you handle it on the field. He said, that's where you get your retaliation, not in the media. And he said, you know, sure. And I heard a lot of that talk about leaving it on the field, handle your business on the field. Don't take it off the field and take it into the media and all that crap. They think that's just a real pansy ass, you know, way to do
it. Well, that was Golic's NFL, though. Nowadays, this is what they're supposed to. They call the commissioner after the game, Mr. Goodell. Ndamukong Suh was trash talking. We protest. Somebody change. They save us from the trash talking defensive linemen. They ought to rename that team, dude. The Atlanta Vaginas.
Well,
just have a big old vagina on the side of their helmet.
Maybe they'll get a chance to play each other again. We'll have to see.
I don't know, man. I got a feeling that the Lions are in due for a bit of a skid here.
Oh, I don't know. I think they had a couple of tough games against the Falcons and the Niners, and they'll bounce back. They're playing Denver.
Oh, what? They're done for right then and there. I mean, gee, God, Tebow's coming to town. That's the end of that.
Well, I think it's at Denver.
Oh, really? Well, they're done, man. They're heading on into Mount Calvary. There.
They're playing in the manger.
That's right. I think Jesus is Tebow's cousin.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Oh,
all right. Carson Palmer got traded to the Raiders. We just couldn't believe that,
dude. Let me ask you. Here's a trivia question. Ready? Before Carson Palmer did it in the second half of that game, who was the last Raiders quarterback to throw three interceptions and a half?
Jamarcus Russell?
Nope. Kyle Bowler the same day.
Oh,
that was pathetic.
Well, hold on. I'm not going to blame Carson Palmer because he should have never been put in that game at all. All
right, he should have never traded for his ass.
Well, we'll see about that. But here's the thing. The guy hadn't played at all this year. He goes to the team, and 4 days later, he's on the field playing. That's ridiculous. That's just stupid.
Yeah, but what about all they all say? Oh, well, he knows Hugh Jackson. They played in middle
school
together. I don't
care. He doesn't have his game legs. You got 4 days. You've been – I don't care. You don't play him. That's just ridiculous.
He played for Hugh Jackson when he was playing 85-pound peewees, and that should familiarize him enough with the offense.
I understand that, but it's not about knowing the offense. It's about being ready to play, being in game shape, which he is not.
Yeah, hey, Hugh, y'all didn't tell me all those Chiefs were going to be around the receivers.
You know, the game is still about reps, getting reps.
Oh, absolutely. You can't step off the couch and go play quarterback in the NFL, and I think everybody knew that except for them.
Muscle memory and all of that. I mean, it's just... He's just not ready. He wasn't ready, man. It was just stupid.
I think everybody realized that but them. I want to know who pulled the trigger on that deal. I still want to know who was the idiot.
Well, we need to
that.
Find out what Al Davis thinks. So I want to call Al up.
Okay.
Way up. You know, Al's up there. Al's up
Unless
in heaven.
He's gotten out of there since then.
He's not happy about it, but he's in heaven. So let's get him on the phone.
Hello. You've reached the offices of Al Davis. How can I direct your call?
This is John and Tom from the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour. We were looking for Al Davis.
He's kind of busy with the big guy right now.
Who?
I remember you guys. You guys talked to me right after I died.
Is this Myron Cope?
Yeah, it's me.
Myron, how are you?
Well, I'd like to say I'm better, but Jesus Christ, I'm answering the phones for Al Davis. What do you think? I hate that guy.
What, are you a secretary now?
I wish I was a secretary. I'm just a receptionist. I can't get the job for secretary.
Oh.
This is the only job I can find. You know, there's nothing up here for play-by-play announcers to do.
Right.
You try to call a football game, and before the play even gets started, the big guy already knows what's going to happen. It gets frustrating. I mean, really. Besides that, all the other announcers ain't got nothing to do, so they're all calling the same game at the same time. You ever try to call a first down play? Harry Carey's up here trying to sing Take Me Out to the Goddamn Ball Game all the damn time. Harry Callis is so damn slow at everything. It's fourth down and three. He's still calling the play from first down. And he throws wide of the mark for an incompletion. Hey, voice of God there. They've already punted for crying out loud. It's enough to drive you crazy.
Well, we were calling to ask Al Davis what he thought about the trade for Carson Palmer.
Oh, he doesn't even know about that yet. No, he has no idea. He still thinks Vince Evans is coming in as the backup.
What?
Yeah. Believe it or not, that whole Carson Palmer thing, that was my idea.
Oh.
Me and a couple of guys were goofing around up here. I said, hey, let me see if I can go down here and cause him to do the most stupid thing I can think of. I tried to get him to sign Tim Couch, but nobody could find him.
Yeah. So did Al see the game against the Chiefs?
You know what? He didn't have time, so I haven't told him about it yet. He's got way many other things on his mind. You know, he talked the big guy into letting him run the day-to-day operations up here, and now he's the managing general partner of heaven.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
I'm not kidding. I wish I was kidding. He's screwing everything up here, just like he did to the Raiders. Last week, he traded John the Baptist to the Buddhists for a bunch of hamsters. They did. Here, they gave us a hamster. They said, this is Johnny Unitas reincarnated. And he believed it, for God's sake. All I know is it craps all over my desk. Hey, hey, Johnny, you, go do it in the cedar chips like you're supposed to.
Oh, no.
Enough to drive you crazy, Tom. I can't even get this damn hamster to shit in the cedar chips, and he's expected to run the huddle? Never gonna happen. Look, the stupidest quarterback I ever seen was Terry Bradshaw, and he makes this hamster look like a genius. I mean, the genius. I got it all backwards, Tom. The hamster makes Terry Bradshaw look like a genius. You know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
It's damn near impossible.
Well, now you keep listing all these people up there. Who else is in heaven that might surprise us?
Oh, gee, you know, hardly anybody's up here, Tom. This place is a ghost town most of the time. You know how hard it is to get in here? I mean, Jesus, it's practically impossible. You pretty much have to live your whole life in a closet with your hands tied up so you can't masturbate.
Well, how did Al Davis get in there?
He never masturbated.
Oh.
About the only thing the big guy doesn't like. Masturbation is a surefire way to get thrown into hell. Bet you didn't know that, did you? He don't like that masturbation. When I first heard that, that would be the best way to get out of this job, so I figured, okay, I'm gonna give it a shot. I pulled my pants down to get started, little Johnny Unitas bit me right on the pecker, and then when I bent over in pain, the little bastard ran right up my ass. I had to go to the infirmary. I had to make up an excuse. I told him I was going to a Halloween party dressed up as Richard Gere. It's as dull as a doorknob up here.
Well, Myron, please tell Al Davis we called.
I'll give him the message. He might get back to you.
All right. I don't know
what he's doing right now. I think he's over talking to the Harry Krishnas about a quarterback.
All right, Myron, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, I didn't expect that, John.
Yeah. So Myron Cope is answering the phones for Al Davis.
What
boy.
Is it? I mean, seriously. That's what it's
backwards.
Come to. And Al's now the managing general partner of heaven. Jesus.
So he traded John the Baptist for a hamster.
Right.
I bet.
And that hamster and Myron Cope are not getting along.
Well, the hamster's supposed to be Johnny Unitas. All the Buddhists are laughing.
Right.
I told him it was Johnny Unitas.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we must talk about Tim Tebow and Tony Sperano. We got to call Jerry Jones. Bryant Gumbel. Cannot wait to talk about Bryant Gumbel. We got all that coming up.
Bang Cartoon.
Bang Cartoon.
I love meat, some meat.
Me, me, me.
They want to come to their senses and do the right thing and pay me what I'm worth, then I'll be more than happy, you know, to be here.
Your friend, Michael Irvin, recently said that if Brett Favre was the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, they'd be undefeated right now. What do you think of that comment?
I mean, that's a good assessment. I would agree with that.
I came here to help the Eagles get to the Super Bowl and win the big game. As you know, I have been suspended and told that I cannot play football for the rest of the season.
I mean, this is America's team, and I feel right at home. I'm a star among stars now. And get your popcorn ready, because it's going to be a show.
You know, and with this contract, dude, I know that, you know, I'm a Cowboy for life, and I'm happy.
He's earned this through his production and performance, and this is something that's good for the Dallas Cowboys.
It's really unfair.
It hurts.
It's my team.
Everybody cries on this show.
It's my quarterback.
You are my ambassador, Quan, man.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
Terrell Owens is no longer a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones releasing the often controversial Terrell Owens.
I regret that I came to the decision that we did, but still our organization is going to move on without Terrell.
Being in a duo is kind of like being on a team, right, T.O.?
I wouldn't know, Kelly. I'm not exactly on a team right now.
Whoops. Awkward. Well, what are you doing with yourself then?
Just working out and hanging out in karaoke bars.
Yeah, karaoke bars? You like to sing? What's your song?
Hit it.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up. Their career.
for the tight this year.
That's all, folks.
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Hey, this is Rich from Revelation Theory. You're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Looks in the end zone. Look out, Tim. Spins away from one would-be tackler. Now throws on the run. Pass caught. Demaryius Thomas, touchdown. Tebow sets, throws. Backside. This is going to be Fells. Fells is going to walk into the end zone. Denver, touchdown. Tebow, quarterback draw. Tebow's going to be into the end zone. Two-point conversion. Successful. And we are tied at 15. Prater with plenty of leg. And it is good. The Broncos have come from behind and beaten the Dolphins 18-15.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Or Tim Tebow, I should say.
Tebow. Jesus is the other guy. I think what it is, Jesus' cousin, right? It's Tim Tebow.
Something.
They're having Tim Tebow Day.
I know.
They're honoring the opposing quarterback. The owner of the Dolphins is on the Broncos sideline. God, what a mess.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Boy, I bet you Reggie Bush is thrilled, isn't he?
Tebow, man, he's all about being positive and believing, and listen to this.
Kept being positive on the sidelines, and everybody was still believing, and we kept fighting, and we believe that we have a lot of heart, and we have a lot of courage, and we're going to fight to the end, and we're going to continue to believe.
That showed our team's courage and our team's heart that no matter how things are going, no matter how we're playing, we're never going to give up, we're never going to quit, we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep believing.
Hold on, wait a minute, stop that right there.
What? Who? What
God
is that?
God speaking.
What? God?
When you're talking about my nephew, you will not play that song. God hates that song.
Oh, Tim Tebow is your God. Tim Tebow is your nephew.
Steve Perry is a homo. He shall never be married. And anyone who has bought that album will also go to hell.
Oh, jeez. Really?
That's right. That's right, we are going to make sure that my nephew gets it done right this time. My son blew it the last time he was down there. So, we're going to make sure Tebow does things properly.
So, you've sent your nephew?
That's right. I sent him to the store first to buy a loaf of bread, but he figured he would get drafted by the Broncos instead.
Oh.
So, if I may say, the smart money is on the Broncos to win the next 7 or 8 Super Bowls.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Do I ever joke?
Well, there is the platypus,
right?
The politician, and
I didn't have anything to do with the politician. Nothing to do with the politician. They all come from New York.
And what? And then there's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, nobody says anything about the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no point. You know what's going to happen at the end of the year?
Yeah, they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
That's right. They're not even going to come close to win a Super Bowl. They don't put enough money in the collection plate.
All right. Well, I can't even just... Rangers,
no. Oh. That's enough of that. No way. Not a chance. Journey is the worst band in the history of the planet.
All right.
I would rather you play Black Sabbath.
Okay.
Hit up some Iron Man for my nephew.
All right, God, whatever you say, sir.
You better believe it. Now I've got to get out of here. Al Davis is too busy out there selling all of my angels.
All right, God, take care.
I have spoken.
John, God just interrupted our show.
You know, I thought so, Tom, but I don't believe in that. So
I
didn't hear a thing. I don't know what in the world happened.
Oh, you did.
Static.
Okay. Oh.
You know, I'm very thankful. First and foremost, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, there you go. There's Tim Tebow, thanking Jesus.
This is Lord, Savior, and cousin.
Yeah, how about that? He's God's nephew. Hey, meanwhile, Tony Sperano, the Dolphins coach, leads all polls when it comes to the category of head coach most likely to be fired first.
I think he's the head coach that most likely resembles somebody in the witness protection program.
Right.
That big phony mustache and those sunglasses all the time and that New Jersey accent.
Well, everybody wants to know if Dolphins owner Steve Ross is going to fire his coach. And after the game, Sperano was asked about it, and he got a little bit testy, John.
I have not talked to Steve Ross. Hey, after all that, that's the question you want to ask me? Ask me a real question, okay? Don't ask me one of those questions. Hey, if you want to ask questions like that, go ask Steve.
What, you think I'm funny? You think I'm funny how? Like funny ha-ha? Yeah. What?
I amuse you? You think my team choking it up against Tim Tebow amuse you? You want to ask me a real question? Okay, how come your owner was on the other sideline talking to their quarterback? How come he was over there?
Right.
Hey, but you know what? Sperano shouldn't worry, all right? Because Pat Bowlen is an idiot. He woke up like 3 years ago and decided he was going to destroy his team. 4 years ago, he fired Shanahan, got rid of all his playmakers. So by next year, Tebow should be in Miami and Sperano should be in Denver.
There you go.
Way it goes.
There you go. Now, Sperano, John, he just wants to see his players smile.
I'm just discouraged for the players in the locker room. That's all. I mean, honestly, I want to see those guys smile in that locker room. They work really hard, and I just really want to see the guys in that locker room smile. That's all.
He just wants to see them smile, John.
They're awful discouraged, Tom. You know, so I hired a clown. Guys in there doing balloon. He's in there doing balloon animals at halftime. No wonder the Broncos came back. Reggie Bush comes out with a giraffe around his head made out of red balloons.
Oh, hell. Hey, who here in the Miami Dolphins locker room wants to have fun?
You know, I thought I just wanted to see him smile, so I bought one of them squeaky noses and I put it on and I went in the locker room. I said, all right, boys, let's go out and fight. Yes, Sperano. So what is your background to become a head coach? Well, I was in the waste management up in New Jersey. Did a little union racketeering.
All right, so, well, we'll see how it goes. Next game, like I said, they got Detroit. Ndamukong Suh coming to town to take on Tim Tebow. That ought to be fun.
Can you believe that? What if he crucifies Tebow? I mean, seriously. What if he does?
I hope they don't nail him to the crossbar.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really. Sue's going to nail him to the crossbar and then go tell everybody after the game that he didn't do it. How was I supposed to nail him to the crossbar with all his medical staff standing around him?
I ain't Jewish.
Right. So I smacked him in the head. I said, yo, man, turn the water into Gatorade. Come on, Jesus boy. Turn the water into Gatorade. Oh, hell.
All right, let's call Jerry Jones. See if he'll talk to us this week. He had to run off last week when we called and couldn't do picks.
Wasn't very happy last week.
He's probably happier this week with a nice spanking of the Rams.
Hello.
Jerry Jones, John and Tom from the Bank Cartoon Radio Hour.
Why, how y'all doing today there, fellas? I swear to God, I didn't get a chance to talk to y'all last week. I was all goddang bent out of shape and upset because of that Patriots loss. But boy, I tell you know what the best tonic is for a football owner? The St. Louis goddang Rams.
Right.
Let me tell you what there. I tell you know what? I already told my daughter, no matter what happens, by the end of next year, you're marrying that DeMarco Murray. Don't you cry or say nothing about it. I love that boy.
I'll bet you do.
He's the most amazing thing since sliced bread. I mean, you know, I thought he was the greatest thing since Felix Jones, and I'm just hoping he doesn't take after Felix Jones. You know, Felix, he's awful fast, and he gets to that corner real quick. But, you know, once he gets there, he breaks his goddamn ankle all the time.
Right.
I'm hoping DeMarco Murray's got a little bit more involved with him. I hope he's got bigger balls. Hey, Tom, you know what? I just found out something today. You know how everybody says when you want to be strong, you got to grow some balls?
Yep.
I've no idea why they say. I ought to say you ought to grow a vagina, because that goddamn thing could take a pounding.
Yes. That is true.
I'm in such a good mood.
That is true.
That's such a good mood.
Nothing
makes me feel better than to win a football game and watch those goddamn dog-butted Redskins fall apart.
Right.
Yeah. They right. said that Rex Grossman was in the goddamn locker room with pneumonia. No, he wasn't. He had suckitis.
Suckitis. There you go.
Suckitis.
All right. Well, you're batting 500 so far. You're 6-6 on the season.
Hey, if I was batting 500, I could be playing for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Hot dang. We're going to win the World Series, Tom.
How about that?
Them St. Louis Cardinals are going to win. Now all of my bases is covered. I look like a genius. I'm a maverick, Tom. Don't you let anybody tell you otherwise.
All right. Well, tell me. You saw Donovan McNabb got benched.
God dang it. Oh, man, there you go. I'm sorry, that just tickles my God dang funny bone. Hey, nothing better than watch old Donovan McNabb on the sidelines looking bored and sad, huh? Hey, you going to play the air guitar walking in the stadium now, boy?
Well, he has been benched. Christian Ponder is the quarterback for Minnesota, and he's playing at Carolina, taking on that big rookie Cam Newton. Who's going to win?
Oh, you got to go with the big rookie, Cam Newton. That boy has just got it all together. He is fast, he is big, he is strong, and he throws a nice pass. I mean, there ain't nothing that he can't do.
Right.
And he's got that Steve Smith, right? He's got that Steve Smith. So I'm figuring on a big win for the Carolina Panthers. They's on the upswing. They's on the upswing. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, they's on the downswing. They going to be hanging just as low as Donovan McNabb's bottom lip. That thing dang near touches his shoulder pads.
How about San Diego at Kansas City?
Oh, San Diego. You know, I thought last week old North Turner showed himself to have some vagina, I guess I should say, when he was calling out Rex Ryan about his non-existent rings. But then he went up there and he blew a big lead and Rex Ryan beat his ass. So you get what you pay for when you come with old North. You know, this year he starts off hot. All these saps done picked him to win the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. We're talking about North Turner winning the Super Bowl. Really? I mean, next thing you're going to tell me, Al Davis is in heaven. I mean, really?
Actually, he is in heaven.
No, I don't even want to hear it.
All right. Well, who's going to win the games?
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and take San Diego. There's no way they're going to lose to the Chiefs. I mean, look, there ain't no quarterback hurting San Diego. They're not going to knock the running back out on the first play of the goddamn game.
All right, this ought to be a big game. New England at Pittsburgh.
Oh, hey, you know something I've done? Most of the time when I look at these picks that y'all give me, I just go off the cuff, you know. I just make it up and wing it whenever I do.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I've done some actual research, and I've done some statistical analysis and whatnot, and here's what I've come up with. New England, they got the worst pass defense in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, they got awful. And Ben Roethlisberger, he's just as ugly as a dog's asshole.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers.
Oh, okay.
That's right. The Steelers is going to win because that Rashard Mendenhall is going to have a good big day. Ben Roethlisberger's boy throwing the ball all over the place, and that boy Mike Wallace is going to have a 99-yard touchdown pass.
All right.
Yeah.
He's going to have Mike Wallace is going to throw a 99-yard touchdown pass?
Oh, he's going to catch one. Oh. Now, that's what happens when you end up at the one-yard line. You have the opportunity for a 99-yard touchdown
pass. Yeah, I think I heard Bernie Kosar say that one time.
Oh, hey, you know what? His daughter, Corey, she wrote me up. She wants to ride my helicopter. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, you should do that.
I think so.
I highly advise it.
Oh, I think so.
I think you'll enjoy that very much.
I think I'm going to dispatch my helicopter pilot to go pick her up right now.
Tell her,
hurry up. Get her out over the international dateline.
Tell her to bring her co-star with her.
Oh, her co-stars, huh? They got co-stars? Is that what they're called? I just figured Fluffer number one and Fluffer number two.
Yeah.
Definitely. She's a talented young lady.
She is. All right, Jerry. Now, this last game, man, the anxiety's killing me.
All right.
You know, we've had these issues with Philadelphia for years now. Andy Reid is 12-0 after a bye week. You know that?
He's 12-0 after a bye week because he can't get out of the goddamn stadium. He has to stay there and watch film because they can't get a TV in there because his big fat ass is blocking all the doorways. So he watches all the film that he can, and he learns more about anything than anything. And, you know, he's 12-0 after a bye week, but this time something's going to be different. DeMarcus Ware is going to get in there and take that dog killer and turn his head up inside out. That's what he's going to do.
All right.
You're going to get the 15-yard penalty. I don't care. I already told him, go out there, collect the flag. It's all right. Just go ring that boy's brain out. Oh, wait, I didn't say that, right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that. Didn't say that out loud. Y'all just imagine that. I'm going to go ahead and take the Dallas Cowboys. It's not even going to be funny, Tom. It's going to be a walk. We're going to do great all the way up until about, oh, I'd say 12 minutes and 38 seconds into the fourth quarter. That's when Tony Romo's going to start screwing things up. You know, he's going to be a daddy, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. I told him. I said, look, we done got you the girl. All right, we put a couple of them in front of you now. You know, you just hold your nose one time and go down there so we can make this look good. By dang it, he did it. I think he got Jason Witten to help him out.
So Carolina, San Diego, Pittsburgh, and Dallas.
Sounds good to me. I'll take that every day.
All right, Jerry, good luck this weekend. Can't wait to see the game Sunday night.
Oh, man. Hey, that Bernie Kosar's daughter, I'll tell you what. What do you think, they're real? I think so. I'm going to go find out.
Yep, I think they're real.
I'll let you know next week.
Okay, Jerry, can't wait to hear about it.
Bye.
Oh, John, he gets everything.
Although, you know, the worst part is that she'll probably do a video of it. It'll probably be something like Hoes and Old Bros or something. And we'll watch Jerry Jones all drunk up with her in a helicopter.
Hey, don't move so fast. You're going to make me spill my highball.
Snorting cocaine off her ass. So, Jerry, I like Jerry went into the statistics and analysis.
Yeah, he did some research this week. That was all right. Ben Roethlisberger's uglier than a dog's butt.
Well, you know,
he's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We have our favorite analyst.
I am an analyst, and my job is to analyze football and make comments.
Well, he made a new comment about being an analyst, and it went like this.
I'm an analyst. I'm supposed to teach. I'm supposed to share my experiences and give my knowledge.
I'm supposed to teach. I'm supposed to share my experiences and give my knowledge. Now, when you want to stab a teammate in the neck with scissors, you do it with an upswing. Like this. You come from the side. You got to put your elbow into it. Here, let me show you how to get away with just about anything. You wear a star on your hat and you call Uncle Jerry after you get arrested.
This is the proper way to hold the crack pipe.
Yes, that's right. Otherwise, you're going to burn your nose. Man, he was dressed like a Dick Tracy villain on NFL Network last week. I don't know. Somebody's got to tell him. Pinstripes mean pinstripes, not these big prison stripes that you're wearing.
Right. Yeah, I've seen him wear that. It's like, I don't know what he's trying to look like.
Usually I don't mess with his fashion sense, but that one looked ridiculous.
All right.
He's a teacher now, Tom. He's a teacher.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess we could do worse. You know what that means? All of a sudden, the Republicans hate him.
Yeah, right. Take away them unions.
Herman Cain wants to have union-free zones, free trade zones in cities where corporations can set up and pay people whatever the hell they want.
Sure he does.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a breadcrumb. Get to work.
Bryant Gumbel. You love Bryant Gumbel.
Bryant Gumbel. I just love Bryant Gumbel.
You remember, you know, he was doing those, he did the first games, was it with Chris Collinsworth on NFL Network?
Yeah, it was him with, yeah, he did them with Collinsworth.
Oh,
which really
was so bad.
He's the worst.
He got replaced by Bob Papa.
Who's actually not too bad.
Right.
Bob Papa and Matt Millen took over.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm glad to have a job somewheres in football.
Yeah, but he's been on the early show. He's been on the Today Show. Well, he made a comment about David Stern and the NBA lockout. David Stern, of course, the commissioner of the NBA. And whether you're an NBA fan or not doesn't matter for this. Gumbel is playing the race card, John.
How can he play the race card?
I think he's calling David Stern racist.
Well, I get it, but isn't that like me calling David Stern? It doesn't work when white guys play the race card. You know? He should at least let his brother play the race card. He still has a Jerry curl. He can get away with it.
Right. Well, this is what Gumbel had to say.
If the NBA lockout is going to be resolved anytime soon, it seems likely to be done in spite of David Stern, not because of him. I say that because the NBA's infamously egocentric commissioner seems more hell-bent lately on demeaning the players than resolving his game's labor impasse. How else to explain Stern's rants in recent days? To any and everyone who'd listen, he has alternately knocked union leader Billy Hunter, said the players were getting inaccurate information, and started sounding Chicken Little claims about what games might be lost if players didn't soon see things his way. Stern's version of what's been going on behind closed doors has, of course, been disputed. But his efforts were typical of a commissioner who has always seemed eager to be viewed as some kind of modern plantation overseer, treating NBA men as if they were his boys. It's part of Stern's MO, like his past self-serving edicts on dress code or the questioning of officials. His moves were intended to do little more than show how he's the one keeping the hired hands in their place. Some will, of course, cringe at that characterization. But Stern's disdain for the players is as palpable and pathetic as his motives are transparent. Yes, the NBA's business model is broken. But to fix it, maybe the league's commissioner should concern himself most with a solution and stop being part of the problem.
This guy is a twit.
He is a first-class jackass. I mean, really, where does he get off with that? Seriously, where does he get off with that? I mean, he's going to demean his players? What does David Stern out to? Hey, boy, pick your lips up off the floor. Get over there on the bench. What is he going to do? He made them dress in suits and made them look halfway decent?
Yeah, so, you know, so. I want to see, hey, Bryant Gumbel, you're going to complain that David Stern is enforcing a dress code when these guys travel on the road representing the NBA organization? So you know what, Gumbel, next time you do the news, you know, I want you to come out, whether, you know, like on the Today Show or, anywhere on network TV, I want you to come out in hip-hop clothes. It doesn't even be that. Just, you know, come out and do it in a jogging suit or some pajamas, and let's see how your employer reacts. You know, every company has rules. If you work for Wendy's, you have to wear their uniform. You know, it's a company rule. And they don't have to work there if they don't want to. They don't have, nobody's forcing them to play in the NBA. You go to work for a company voluntarily. You're not forced to work for that company. If you don't like the company's rules, go work somewhere else.
Well, Tom, he's a plantation owner. He does force them. He shoves money in their pockets and forces them to go out and labor away. You know, before you get on to that, the dress code, really? What is the first thing you need to attract if you are an entertainment sports entity in this country? Families, right?
Families, yeah.
Families. So, you know, you want to attract families, you make your players look professional. My good friend Jason over on one of my message boards there, he said it best. He says, you know, my father said that if you want to be a professional, dress like a professional.
Right.
Want to be treated like a professional, dress like a professional. And I have no problem with it whatsoever.
You know what? And even if we had a problem with it, it's their company. The owners make the rules. It's that way business out there.
That's right. Brian Gumbel here.
He acts like this is not a business, like this is something different, that these players are supposed to be treated special or let to do whatever they want. No, it's still a business.
Here on HBO Sports, sipping on the scissor, getting ready to get down with all my homies here in the hood.
F. Bryant Gumbel, what a pompous ass. Yeah, what a pompous ass.
Yeah, and the voice of reason in all of this, John, is Charles Barkley, whether you can believe that or not. But listen,
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, listen to what Barkley had to say.
Well, I thought they were stupid. First of all, it's disrespectful to black people who went through slavery. Well, guys are averaging $5 million a year. That's just disrespectful. Dan, when David Stern took over, I went and did my research because I knew people was going to make a big deal out of it. When David Stern took over the NBA in 1984, which was my first year, the average salary was $315,000. That was the average salary. The average salary now is $5.15 million. So when has he been holding people back from making money? And secondly, David Stern works for the owners. His job is to make sure the owners have a fair deal. So I thought it was, and I like Brad. I like that show a lot. But I thought that was the owner, this commissioner works for the owners. He's trying to get a fair deal for the owners. That doesn't make him but it's disrespectful to black people. I mean, I don't think the slaves were making $5.1 million a year.
Exactly. Nope. So
not even.
So they've gone from making $315,000 a year when David Stern stepped in there to making $5.15 million a year now. They're getting paid. They're not being forced to do this. They're not being forced to live in a shack behind the plantation where they, you know, $5 million a year. Really? Gumbel, you're going to compare this to slavery? Are you serious?
Come here, boy. Get on over there and bounce that basketball. That's a good boy. See if you can dunk it. Good boy.
Look, you know what? Sir Charles, thankfully, through the help of the Underground Railroad, was able to escape his handlers in Philadelphia, and Harriet Tubman helped him get all the way across the country to Phoenix, where he could make a whole lot of money. Seriously, Brian Gumbel, I think somebody at Brian Gumbel's house said, "Dad, are we black?" "What? I guess I'll have to prove it on my show today by picking on the man."
I mean, that's just...
idiot.
That's ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous. I mean, really, if you're going to compare anything to slaves, professional athletes are the last thing that you want. I mean, God bless America, $5 million a year.
To play a game!
To play a game!
You're bitching because you got to put on a suit and tie to travel to the game? Are you serious? Hockey players wear them. They wear suits when they travel.
And they got no teeth. The players aren't bitching. The players are happy with the money.
Yeah, they like looking good, but you know.
Yeah. They might have bitched when it first happened, but you know what? The thug asses that didn't want to cover up all their tattoos and whatnot, guess what they did? They went out and bought some nice $5,000 suits, and they look great.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun when you're making more money and kids are actually looking at you with respect instead of fear.
Amazing.
Yeah, really. Brian Gumbel needs to shut the hell up and
so,
get the hell off the television.
Yeah, all I have to say about that is F you, Brian Gumbel. Shut up.
Shut up.
Got any
Shut up, you fool.
You got any email?
I think I got a few. Let's see what we got here. All right, Todd writes in. Hi, Todd. I missed the hell out of your cartoons. Is there anything I can do to get you up and running again? Please let me know. Yeah, hit that donation button, Todd. Everybody, hit that donation button. You want me to make cartoons? You have to be able to pay me more than what I'm making to try to keep my family alive. See, people think that I'm just, you know, sold out or whatever, anything like this. Look, man, the recession has hit everybody, right? Okay, so what makes you think I'm any different? You know, be happy that business is good enough that I can still do this. So once things smooth out, I'm looking at possibly doing a few before the year is out. You know, things are starting to settle down a little bit, but don't give me a hard time because I had to survive through this thing, man. Lots of people did. They're all living in the streets up in these cities nowadays with big signs at the one percenters, right? So I've been working. That's where I've been.
He's full of crap, Todd. He's just a lazy ass.
I am. I'm just a lazy ass, Tom. I, you know, I'm just tired of working for the man, you know. That David Stern, he's whipping my back.
Psst, what's your name, boy? Psst, can you gorilla dunk, boy? Psst, drive the lane, boy!
Jesus.
All right, Richard in Indianapolis. Richard Burton from Indianapolis writing in, boy, do I hate NASCAR. He says he's serious. He hates NASCAR like a sane man hates golf, and I can agree with that. I've been an IndyCar fan since my dad and grandfather took me to the 500 back in the 70s. Oh, A.J. Foyt there, huh? The drivers remind me of policemen, firemen, and soldiers. I know their job is dangerous, but they love it, and it's who they are. They aren't motivated by money, but it's something. So when people claim Weldon was racing for the $5 million, you know what? I couldn't care less. We're moving on. Sorry there, Richard. This isn't a racing show. You want to go on a racing show? Go over there to the Hick Network and ask them about it.
Oh, I thought this was the Bang Cartoon Sports Show now.
It is, but I couldn't care less about NASCAR. He said it right up the front. All right, you know, IndyCar racing, whatever. Open wheel racing.
I don't need any of it.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. I couldn't care less.
Turn left.
For fast traffic. Oh, man. Showstalker Josh Wells, the Panther fan, writes in. Yay, go Panthers. Boy, I tell you, sometimes, man, they just kick you when you're down, don't they? P.S. I am watching the Vikings-Packers game, and McNabb is giving advice to Ponder after throwing a pick. I couldn't help but think McNabb was telling him he should have thrown it at the grass because he never threw interceptions when he targeted the ground. All right, John writes in. Great show. I'm going to Wembley, London tomorrow. I'm one of the many who have been to all five of the UK games and an NFL Falcons fan for about 15 years. Oh, you know what? Your team is a bunch of vaginas. Tell them to shut up and quit bitching about Tom and Sue into the media. All right. I feel I can safely say that nobody over here thinks that setting up a franchise in London is a good idea. Roger Goodell must be the only person in the world who does. Well, he's not the only one. It's not the only idea that Roger Goodell has that everybody thinks is a bad idea. Do you know he fined Troy Polamalu for calling his wife from the sidelines to tell her that his head wasn't bleeding because he had a big concussion? Don't worry, dear. My brains are still in my head.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
$10,000. Now, see, I can understand it because once you start allowing cell phones on the sidelines, who knows what they're going to be telling each other, right? But Irvin had a point because he said, you know, they just have to be able to set somebody up so that he can say, call my wife, and somebody does, and he doesn't have to get fined for it. But Anyway, he says people travel to the London game from Scotland, Germany, Ireland, and elsewhere. We won't be doing that 7 or 8 times a year, and I certainly can't afford season tickets. Third, it will be a logistical nightmare for the teams traveling to and from England unless they radically alter the schedule. I don't know. It might be. It might be. Are the Bears and Buccaneers both on a bye this week? I believe they are.
I think so, yeah.
I think that was one of the things about going over there to play is you get the bye the next week. Tell you what, Roger, do us, do the league, and do yourself a favor and just stick NFL on non-subscription TV over here. Hey, that's a good idea. You'll be promoting the game much better. You know, because over there you've got a choice of subscribing to watch the NFL or watching like a 6-day darts tournament on, you know, BBC4. Here we go, darts tournament. Oh, and he's just outside the red zone in the sevens. You could even put a little bit of money and support the already thriving local leagues that we have existing here. Grow a proper grassroots game around Europe. Hell, we even had an American Football World Cup in Austria this year. Really? No kidding. I didn't know that. That'd be interesting. I figure it wouldn't cost as much for this stupid effing league London franchise project. So for F's sake, Roger, don't do it. P.S. I'm not British, so if you read this out, don't do it in a fruity English accent like Tilliard. Thanks, John. All right. Kevin in Sweden writes in. Our buddy Kevin out there. Nice to see another installment of NFL in London featuring my favorite scab season teams, the temporary Buccaneers and the Chicago Spears. Oh, still waiting for the NFL to get into the European theme, though. Some natural fits for a certain team play-in. Vikings versus Raiders in Oslo. Hey, that's pretty cool. Titans versus the Giants in Rhodes, and Lions versus the Saints in Rome. that's pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
It was also nice to see Miami fans support their team in London back in 2007. Who knows, those little rafts could make it all the way across the Atlantic.
All right.
All right, and that's all I got for this week. Ta-da!
All right, bcrh-forums.net for the message board.
Yep, go find us on Facebook, Bang Cartoon Radio Hour on Facebook, of which Diva Lover is a member and a participating member. It's good to have him on board. Oh, and by the way, everybody, go over to DivaLover159.com and buy a t-shirt. Yeah! Chad needs the help, man. Yeah. Buy a t-shirt from him, man. Why not? Dude's a good guy.
Yep.
He is a good guy.
Yep.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons. BangCartoon.com. Bang, 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 bang. Here I come, bang! You've been listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag. Bang Cartoon Radio.